Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon. So Charlie's going to be with us all this week. And, I mean, it was a huge weekend of sport. We've got a massive game of football tonight, which is why in this podcast, you'll hear none of that.
None of that. We really hit the heavy-hitting bits of football today, didn't we?
We did. We really talked about why Norwegian pensioners want Borussia Dortmund to keep winning.
Digging up Red Car's pitch.
That's
and
right.
Why.
We talked about that.
Mainly dog. That was mainly dog mess. Yeah. Obsessed, that
we
bit.
Spoke to the groundsman at the Mo Molum. More on that. And is it true, Boffin claims, who we spoke to, that short refs brandish more cards than tall ones? What about that?
We found out that. We did have a text on the subject, which we didn't read out, but extra podcast content here, Paul.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Which was, does it matter if they were ginger or bold? Which, I don't know if they've done that yet.
No, I don't think they've done that research yet.
That would
feel wrong. But anyway, here it all is.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Andy.
See what I mean? It's just after all these years.
Asleep at the wheel already, Paul.
Already.
Just like, yeah,
that's right. I've slipped
same
into
old
automatic
routine.
Good afternoon, Charlie.
Afternoon, Paul.
I knew it was, sorry. Good afternoon, Charlie. Lovely to see you.
Very well. Have you been watching The Masked Singer, Paul? Did you watch it?
Do you know
it?
What? I found myself with my mum in a doctor's waiting room on Saturday. I know how to,
you live.
Not Studio 54 for me, the eye clinic with
my
mum.
Is that an Apple product, the eye clinic?
Yeah, it is. We often go there. Yeah. Yeah, she needed to get her iMac fixed. But no, we were there and they had it on the telly. But there was a couple next to us who hated the show. They were asking for it to be turned over.
Oh, really?
But I think there may have been open mutiny from my mum and one or two others who'd been following it.
It's been a huge hit.
Oh, yeah.
Joel Dommett, my mate, he's presenting it. Very, very good. And it's just singers, if you haven't seen it, in these brilliant costumes, aren't they? Like they had a big monster and a hedgehog and an octopus. And then you had to guess who they were from just the singing. And a really, really good show. I've got 2 points on it.
Okay.
First one is, I think we should do it with footballers.
Well, Sheringham was in this wasn't he?
But wouldn't it be lovely if every Saturday you didn't know who was playing for you and they turned up and you didn't know if it was Lionel Messi or someone from the non-league and they were
so
just...
Somebody had to play in that hedgehog outfit.
Covered face.
Not the whole body thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like it's like a trial. Blind trial. You
the
don't know who they are.
Masked trialist. What a great idea.
Masked trialist. Good idea, isn't it? But, Jason Manford was on
I'd
it.
I'd love to know who's in that Eric Dyer mask at the moment. Not the bloke who was wearing it 2 years ago.
Not the same guy, no.
I don't think it is. No, sorry, Eric. I'm sure you're doing your best. He'll work his way back to fitness.
He will do.
Robert Goodfellow asks, just his wellies.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
No, it was a children's match, so I don't think it would have been... I mean, normally I would have, you know.
Frowned upon, yeah.
Jason Manford was hedgehog.
Yeah, he was.
On this, big Man City fan, of course, Jason Manford. Mm. And Jason's friends with Alfie Bowe. And during
who's a Liverpool fan, Alfie.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, big time, yeah.
During the show, Alfie came up to Jason and said, have you seen this Masked Singer? I don't know who that hedgehog is. He's rubbish.
Oh, no, he didn't. Did he? Oh, no.
So I don't know if that was a joke, but good fun, isn't it? But he's had to keep it quiet.
I take it that series was sort of recorded. It wasn't a live show, was it?
No.
Because it would have had an impact on the level of celebrity they could get. The fact they got a good level of celebrity, because they blocked them through for a kind of 4 or 5 days in a studio.
Yeah, there was a lot of...
Or possibly less than
there
that.
There was a lot of, it could be Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it could be Brad Pitt.
Sorry, but surely it might have been someone who was once in Emmerdale. Yeah. They worked their way through. Could be Dean Gaffney. Yeah. Could be Brad Pitt. Yeah. Think about the budget. All they've really got to do, I mean, is look at the amount of much money they're getting for being on the panel. And then you've got a rough idea of what level of celebrity you're going to get. So it did seem a bit mad to keep saying, I think it might be, you know.
Is it Frank Sinatra?
Morgan Freeman? It's not, is it? It's just not, is it? It's not going to be there.
I
thought a good level of celebrity, you know, Khalees and people like that.
Saturday night show, Paul, which used to happen.
But
I'd
not
time,
really watched it until I was in the eye clinic the other night, and I could kind of, I mean, you know, but having the running commentary from the couple, they were saying, "Who's behind Hedgehog's mask?" And this woman's going, "Who cares? Who cares?" And my mum's looking daggers at her, and her eyes burning into the back of their heads.
If you were into it, you were into it. That's football, it's a bit good, wouldn't it? Good. Have to do a trial.
It's interesting. Pep says he's willing to manage in League Two, whatever happens to City.
Oh,
I mean, I think
he
works safe in the knowledge that he won't be managing in League Two. But if you are a fan of a League Two club or you watch a lot of League Two football, can you prepare Pep for the delights on the basis that he's listening this afternoon in the car? Can you prepare him for? Preparing for the delights of League Two, things
lovely.
That you witness at League Two level,
as a
fan around the country, what kind of things go on that don't happen in the rarefied atmosphere of the Etihad?
I mean, is he vegan? Because he'd have to get down to Forest Green Rovers if he wanted a pie.
I'm sure he could do that.
He'd cope with Forest Green Rovers, I think.
He strikes me as a man that's the Catalan, so they like a mixed grill, don't they? I think they quite like the mixed grill.
They'd like that, would he? The full chorizo.
Yeah, I think they're probably the cooked meats. The meats
not always cooked
hung on
in
a
League
hook.
Two.
Yeah, that's not always partially cooked meats of League
Mystery
Two.
Mystery meats.
That's right. He'll be eating bits of the pig, which he... not at Forest Green, we hasten to add, but...
No.
At some, I don't know, at the budget end of the pie market,
If he wants to get a bit of experience, he could ditch Man City for the rest of the season now because they're not going to win the league.
Yeah.
And go to Stevenage because they're looking for a manager.
They are. Graham Wesley's
left again.
Not that Andy Smarter, old friend, has taken any great delight in that. Sitting there with his Graham Wesley voodoo doll, as he does.
But apparently, are announcing their new manager this afternoon, and they welcome Graham Wesley to the club.
Well, the masked manager. That would be quite nice, wouldn't it? Take it off. Oh, it's Graham Wesley again. It's Graham Wesley again.
We're like that with our right winger. Take him off. Take him off.
I wonder if that might be a cry now.
Yeah,
at football.
Possibly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
Bit disappointed it's heavyweight week and they brought me in for the week, Paul. I'm on the 5-2. I mean, it's just
the 5-2.
A 5-2 diet, yeah. But
are you still on that? Last time I saw you?
Not going well, is it?
5 days on, 2 days
five
off?
Five sausages when you should have two. No, 5 days on, 2 days off, yeah.
Okay, so you don't eat anything for 2 days?
No, you have 800 calories on those 2 days.
And then on the other five, it's about 16,000.
Really shove some pizzas down your neck.
Yeah. Charlie looks like a young Frasier Hines from Doctor Who days, says Nick. Is that one of the other three people
you
look like?
That's not on my list now. Do you want my list? I'll give you
my list. Go on, give us the four.
This is on Facebook and Instagram today. I'm on Instagram, Charlie Baker Comedian, if anyone wants to follow me on there.
Yep.
But the Doppelganger Challenge, which is to put four people that people tell you, not people who you think you look like, people who you tell you.
Fuse four people together and you look like them.
Yeah, I've gotten for... Jack Black, which I get all the time.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
Barry from EastEnders.
Can't see that massively.
I get that shouted at me all the time. Mike Myers.
Oi, Barry! Did you get that shouted at you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, fair enough.
Mike Myers and Susan Boyle. Which I've had a few times.
Has anybody ever shouted, "Oi, Susan"? They haven't, have they?
A couple of times.
So if you get stuff, if anybody ever shouted something at you in the street, we had the great, late, great Roger Lloyd Pack in the studio, and I did say to him, how many times do you get... Like Dave or Trigger. About 50. About 50 shouted at me from vans or cars or cabs or whatever.
All the time. I can imagine if you're that.
Has anybody ever shouted that at you? And then did you realise afterwards, blimey, they thought I was Barry from EastEnders. Talksport.com, text 81089. You're also telling us about the delights of League Two. Pep says he'll stick around even if City are in League Two.
Grimsby away. I can see him up there, can't you? Pep at Grimsby.
Okay, you certainly can. Yeah,
Barrow away next year if they go up from the National League.
Pep would be heard muttering, "Is this some sort of circus?" as he looks around at Bristol Rovers' collection of tents, as Stan said. Steve, keep them coming. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J. Now, do you know any Norwegian pensioners?
I don't know. No.
I think I've got an old Nan in Oslo or something.
No, isn't that a Leonard Cohen album?
I think it is. But if so, if you've got if your Nan is Norwegian, she's laughing because Erling Haaland, the fantastic player who's headed to Borussia Dortmund, I think is the Bundesliga Player of the Month. He's made such an impact. He is swelling her coffers.
All right.
Her funds.
All right.
Her pension funds.
That's nice, yeah.
Let's find out why.
Rephrase it, yeah.
Lars Sivertsen joins us. Good afternoon, Lars.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
This is a bizarre story, isn't it? Every Erling Haaland goal is great news for the elderly of Norway.
That's one way of putting it. I guess it sounds bizarre if you're not familiar with the fact that Norway's sovereign wealth fund is quite a significant thing. We've obviously, as you may or may not be aware, made quite a lot of money from the oil industry since we found some black stuff in the sea offshore. And we've reinvested most of that money. So the Norwegian sovereign wealth fund is currently the largest in the world, I believe. And it's something like $1 trillion or some such. And it is named the Norwegian Pension Fund. The idea is that it's meant to secure our futures and pay our pensions to people and this sort of thing. Now, the Norwegian State Pension Fund owns 1.4% of Borussia Dortmund, which isn't a huge stake, but they own a little bit. And of course, when Haaland scores, then Dortmund wins, and our stock goes up, and it benefits everyone a little bit. There was a jump in the stock itself when Haaland signed. So excited were the markets about this. I think they initially went up by like 5% or something just because Haaland signed. So yeah, it's going well.
Watching him in the Champions League, in the first stage of the Champions League this season, talk about it, is pure revelation. I remember watching the boys that you all know, of course, on the BT Goal show, and then they kept cutting back to the RB games, and it just scoring for fun. He looked such a player, and I thought, who is this kid? I hadn't really heard a great deal about him before until the start of this season, but he is just a revelation, isn't he?
He is. Though I will pull you up in this and say that if you were a regular listener to the very excellent Trans Europe Express on TalkSport on Sunday night, you will have heard of him because we did discuss him earlier in the season because he's been on the radar for us in Norway for a while, of course, due in no small part to who his father is, Alfinger Haaland, of course. But no, he is a truly remarkable young man, and I think the thing that really. I mean, obviously, you look at him and you see he's got amazing physique. He really moves for a big man and incredible eye for goal. But I think the thing that really catches my eye is that he's just not fazed by anything. Like, the last couple of years, I put out a couple of photos on Twitter a few weeks ago, how his home grounds have changed over the last handful of years. You know, moving from Blina, who are in the third tier in Norway now, to Tumold on the west coast under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's leadership there, and then to RB Salzburg and now to Dortmund. And it's just this sort of extraordinary rise where he's gone from playing certainly in front of one quite a rough-looking stadium at Bruna. It's not a looker, that one. It's playing in front of the Signal Iduna Park, 80,000 people in the stands, Champions League, all this. And he just doesn't seem fazed. I mean, he plays as if he's on the training ground. You know, he doesn't seem bothered by anything. And I think that's quite remarkable for a young man who's had such an extraordinary ride.
And there is a feeling that he'll just be passing through Dortmund, really, on his way to possibly Real Madrid in a year or so's time.
It does sound absurd, given that he's only played three games for them, or started three games in the league anyway. But there's already a sense that if he keeps this up, he will inevitably move on, because Dortmund is in this sort of weird position where Dortmund are a huge club in their own right. You can't say a club that has like 80,000 people in the stands every week are not a big club, but they are somewhere sort of slightly below, I guess, the really big dogs in Europe in the pecking order for financial reasons more than anything. And you do think that all of the way he's going, he's heading for the very top. Just a remarkable year for him.
The Norwegian season runs from March to November, doesn't it, Lars?
That's good knowledge.
That's a long winter break. I think they should play. I know it gets dark early, and I know it's like minus 20 or something, but I think they should play. I think it's a shame.
And when Haaland gets
it, really depends, Charlie, because I'm from the southwest, so when we get roughly the same weather as Inverness, it's not completely unfeasible to play in the winter. Trouble is up north in Tromsø, and the part of the world where Morten Gamst Pedersen and Stefan Johansson is from. I mean, all the way up there, you just couldn't do it. And no. You even have, in the latter couple of rounds, I mean, it's quite common for Tromsø's last home games that, you know, sometimes you get a bit of snow and you have to get the tractor out at half time.
Yeah.
They
could pop to Inverness for some warm weather training.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it is actually a thing because they have an artificial pitch, so you can, at half time, you can bring the tractor out to clear the snow, which is something that has happened. You know, Alex Tetti of Norwich once scored a goal up there for Rosenborg, celebrated by Craig making a snow angel.
Nice. Quite an elaborate celebration.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Lars. Good to talk to
Cheers,
you. Thanks
Lars.
Very much.
Anytime, guys.
There we are. Lars Sivertsen there, probably heading home. Once he goes to Real Madrid, Harland, they'll all be driving around in Bentleys, the old Norwegian pensioners.
Yeah. Really watching his career.
Yeah, just like a little trilby and one of those sort of plastic hats just sitting above the line of these fantastic Bentley seats in a car doing 20 mile an hour on the motorway.
Yeah. Harland.
Great big convoy of them, yeah.
A number plate, Harland 1.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We were talking earlier on, Charlie, is the four people that apparently looks a bit like
Barry from EastEnders. Barry from EastEnders. And Jack Black.
Yeah.
And Mike Myers and Susan Boyle.
And Susan Boyle, the four people that if you meld them together look like Charlie.
Yeah.
Ben, the Spurs fan from Fareham, adds that Olivier Giroud.
You were very nice there. He says a fat Olivier Giroud. Which, to be honest, Olivier Giroud is a very good looking man.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
Factor in a bit of Ryland as well. Maybe you've got a bit of
fat Ryland. Oh, you're going with a fat. Now you've got your own one, have you now, Paul?
No, I'm just saying you should factor that in.
Bullying in the workplace, I just call HR.
I never use the word fat. You did, and you and Ben, take it up with Ben HR, not me.
This is Martin in Wilshire. I once saw a guy, this is people shouting stuff out from vans.
Yeah, because we were saying Barry, Charlie, he gets, occasionally people go, "Oi, Barry!"
Yeah.
Because they think he's...
Do you want to buy some speakers?
They think he's Barry from EastEnders. Yeah.
I once saw a guy hanging out of a white van after seeing someone from Take That walking down the road, shouting, Howard!
Yeah.
Trying to get his attention. This went on for a while he was in a traffic jam. Then Take That member completely ignored him and kept walking as it was Jason!
Dan! thank you very much, Martin. What else we got for you?
Have you got any tattoos, Paul? I'm not reading...
bringing tattoos?
In something new. Yeah, got any tattoos?
I've got the whole of my back is...
Oh, yeah. An eagle, is it?
It's a tableau from Parrot. No, it's not really. No. I haven't got any. I nearly had
one. The Gary Mabbott own goal.
I nearly... I nearly
the 87 Cup final. No, no.
I nearly had one once, but no. Have you, Charlie? You got any body art?
No body art at all.
No plans?
Chris Brown has got a lot. The singer, the rapper, and rapper Chris Brown.
Yeah, okay.
But he's gone for now. He's started having him on his face, Paul. A face tattoo. Okay. He's got a pair of trainers on his face.
Chris Brown's got a pair of trainers. Yeah,
you'd have to really like trainers, wouldn't you? I can't think of anything I like enough to have it tattooed on my face.
Even if you're the manager of JD Sports, you wouldn't have a pair of trainers tattooed on your
face.
Maybe
Jamie Reid. Maybe I'd have Jamie Reid, the talkie striker, tattooed on my face. I really like
it. What would it take? What would Jamie have to do for you to have a face tattoo of Jamie Reid?
Just carry on. Just carry on playing for the Gulls.
Okay. That's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I love him.
He hasn't got to score a certain amount of goals.
No.
Okay.
Just love him.
I've never been confused with anybody famous, says John. Oh. Okay, well, thanks for taking part. But he says,
stop.
With my uniform for work, I always seem to be asked, hi, do you work here? Whenever I pop into Tesco or other grocery shops.
Oh, right.
I don't know where he works. So if he
wears going in a blue jumper, though?
I don't know. To which I always reply yes and then send them completely the wrong way around the shop. I used to, I had a little sort of tatty job years ago. We had this one digit away from radio rentals when kids used to rent their TVs. Yeah. They didn't own them. They quite often they
and
rented their, apart from very rich people, they rented their TVs. Yeah. So we were one digit out, and people would often phone up this shop and they say, hello, radio. No, you got the digit wrong. It's a one, not a zero. Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
Until one day, the manager of this place where I worked had had enough. So he said, radio rentals? I said, yes, can I help you? He said, yeah, my TV's broken. He said, well, what do you want me to do about it? He said, well, you are radio. I want it fixed. He said, well, I don't care. Don't really care your telly's broken. Just laid it on, you know. He said, well, I'm coming down. He said, here, bring your mates and bring your dinner. It was one of those, you know.
He's missing an opportunity. Should have just got into the TV rental business.
Poor fella. He could have started doing his...
Could have started a little sideline.
Poor fella sitting there, you know, reading titbits in radio rentals because it was very much of the moment. And some irate customer comes in, like Bernard Breslau, gets him by the throat. So all very zeitgeisty, this, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, for the kids, very Bernard Breslau, radio rentals.
Very much of the moment.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Dave, the Palace fan, once mistaken for Stavros Flatley while he was swimming.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Did he have Cyprus tattoo on his chest?
Well, I mean, there was certain giveaway body art, as you said, Charlie, earlier on, that might have done that, but Dave said he claimed to be a better dancer.
I've worked with him. They're thoroughly nice blokes, Stavros Flatley. The little lad now is like an elf. Yes, what, mate? How are you?
He went to school with my youngest lad. So,
did he?
Anyway, we move on. Neither here nor there. And we move on to... scientific research into the art of refereeing, and interesting findings from Dr. Nick Neave at the Northumbria University, in that short referees, short of stature, of course, are more likely to give you a red or yellow card than their slightly taller counterparts. Mm. More controversial.
Very controversial.
Dr. Nick, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you doing, guys?
Yeah, we're not too bad. So,
my first question, Nick, is what do you call short?
Well, the average height of the referees in our sample was 1.76 metres.
Oh, well, what's that in the old money?
To save us working it out. I'm working it out.
You carry on, Paul, with the interview. I'll work that out.
Like, yes, January the 31st never happened. So tell us then how this. What made you kind of start looking into this? There must have been a kind of catalyst for it.
Yes, the catalyst was my student who is a referee. He works for the FA. He's a part-time ref. He works in the lower leagues. He's a very tall chap. But we were very interested in this idea that the height of a referee could have an influence upon the decisions that they make. Certainly in the rest of life, we know that the height that you are does have a big influence on your dominance, your assertiveness, your confidence, and how people kind of react to you in a kind of a public setting. We thought, wouldn't it be interesting if this applied in a setting whereby the decisions made by the person had a very far-reaching consequences on a team or players?
I suppose from an animal point of view, is what we're talking about, the smaller you are, the more you have to give out aggression to try and put off the person who's having a go at you, I suppose. And I suppose
Absolutely.
That's what deep down psychologically, that's what a shorter person is doing with the red and yellow card. Don't mess with me.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, wow. The kind of short man syndrome, you know, the idea that shorter people they have to work a little bit harder. They have to kind of present their dominance and their assertiveness a little bit harder than somebody who's taller than them, because taller people in our society are immediately granted more kind of deference.
Was there, did you notice this happening sort of at lower levels of football, or maybe down in League One and Two more than the Premier League,
yes,
or possibly the Championship?
Yes, there was an effect of the league. Overall, the story holds true that the shorter the referee, the more likely they are to give a yellow card, the more likely they are to give a red card. They were more likely to give penalties, but that didn't quite work out statistically. So there was a trend there, but it wasn't as clear. But it was really clear when we looked at Leagues 1 and 2. Right. It didn't quite hold up in the Premiership. But interestingly, the referees that we surveyed from Leagues 1 and 2 are shorter than the referees in the Premiership.
Okay. I mean,
5 foot nine is 1.76.
Thank you very much for clearing that up, Charlie.
Not short, I would just say.
No, not particularly short. I mean, that you've looked at referees like some of the shorter end of the spectrum, maybe like Mike Dean, who's, 5'8", and John Moss, 5'7". What about, how do their cards compare, say, to Graham Scott, who's 6 foot tall?
Well, we don't have actually names of the referees. Very kindly took part in this anonymously.
Oh.
So we can't actually pin a particular decision to a particular referee. But certainly, I mean, the relationship held true that the shorter the referee, the more likely they were to give these cards. Of course, these referees, I mean, if you're saying 5 foot nine, that's the kind of average British male height anyway. So these aren't short people, but in comparison to the players, perhaps, they might be ever so slightly shorter in some circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, I just wonder if it's true of every sort of walk of life. Is a short traffic warden more likely to give you a ticket than a tall one? I mean, is there any way you could?
There is a way.
Extend this with other authority figures, Nick. Would you think about
that? That's a very good idea. It's something that we've considered all these different things. The only thing was that because we actually because Dane, who did the research, was a referee, we had an opportunity to assess referees, and the FA very kindly gave us permission to do this. And of course, every decision that a referee makes is there. There's a statistic, so we know exactly how many red cards and yellow cards and penalties they've awarded over the season. It's there as public record.
Okay.
So it's very easy to get that information. To get information like that from, say, traffic wardens, which is a great idea, it's not out there. You know, it's hard to find.
Sure.
I wonder if it makes a difference in something like tennis, where the referee is sat down. But they might still be tall.
Yeah, they're
sat down.
There's no point of confrontation there as such. They're sitting up on a very,
very
tall chair.
Very high chair.
And there's a distance. You're not really making kind of direct eye contact. They're not in front of you. There's no particular intimidation there. That's a very good point.
I can imagine being short in boxing would be quite useful, because you can get in and amongst it, like that.
But I mean, you're not. There's no sanction in boxing.
No.
Well, I mean, you can kind of take a point off and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like showing a card. Is
umpires.
It?
I wonder if tall umpires are more likely to give out LBW than
well,
short
no
ones.
Into this. I can fill in some of these Premier League, because the good people at the Sun have done the Premier League stats today. So John Moss, apparently, he's awarded 5'7", awarded 3.7 yellow cards per game. Mike Dean, as we said, 5'8", has given out 3.6. But big old Graham Scott, Lurch, 6 foot tall Graham Scott, 2.4 yellows on average per game. So that does kind of fit with your research, really.
Interesting. I haven't seen the Sun today. So they've actually put a name to the referee, have they? And
they have. They've
put all the cards.
They've looked at the cards. I know that wasn't your research. They've used that as a springboard, obviously. So interesting. Nick, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Fantastic, fellas. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Dr. Nick Leave there from Northumbria University.
It's the sort of research we need.
Well, it is.
This is interesting. I wonder who the tallest ever ref was.
Any
7 foot plus ref?
There's been
I don't know if that's a Googleable fact or not. Maybe 1889.
Kalina, how tall was Kalina?
I mean, just in the Sunday leagues, you know, if you got someone turning up 7'4", and he was, actually, do you know what you do? You get him to put the nets on the goals.
Yeah.
Sunday league, wouldn't you? Wouldn't need to have the ladder or anything. He'd be there, be able to hook it up. There, lads, off you go.
That's right.
Instantly good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
When you swim through the briny sea for me.
There we are, the theme to the excellent TV series Detectorists.
There we are. I wonder what station I was on for a minute there. You're listening to Late Nights with...
Could be Timo Werner's new album, of course.
Paul Hawksby with Late Nights.
But we play that because there was an intriguing little story in the Sun the other day. It just said metal detectorists digging up the pitch were among trespassers forcing Redcar Town FC to put up fences in North Yorkshire. And we thought, well, has there been a fine there? What's gone on? Is there doubloons, as you said?
What's under there, you know? Yeah, big treasure chest.
I think detectorists maybe have been unfairly singled out in that story.
If they did find anything, would it count towards financial fair play? Well, is this a way around it we could find?
Messi may be playing for Redcar soon.
You never know. If they find some like gold under there and they dig it up, whose is it?
That's
it?
Maybe we should let the detectorists in as opposed to ring fence. Anyway, so Graham Rose is the head groundsman at the club. Good afternoon, Graham.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. As I said, there I've looked into the story a bit more. It's not really... detectives are among the people, but it's not really about them having found something rare and worth something that's the problem, isn't it? There's lots of people coming onto your field of play. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, fine. Yeah, we have an open area of public land, which is part of a leased area of land that we've had for about... since 2005 or 2008. And at the moment, we get a lot of dog walkers that are just letting the dogs, you know, do their business all over the field, which on a Sunday morning, on a Saturday morning, when we're trying to set up kids' pitches and things like that, it means that we're having to pick all the dog dirt up, even though over the last sort of 5 or 6 years, we've been trying to put posters up. We're working with council and stuff like that. We also have local motorbikes that come across the pitches, which really they don't really care. They just cut the pitches up and they just sort of like, you know, and they sort of sit with quad bikes. And then once a year, we usually have a visit from some travellers.
Right.
Unfortunately, as you're probably aware, travellers aren't the easiest to sort of like go to and actually ask them to leave politely. So they tend to stay around a little while and make a bit of a mess. So it's really come to a bit of a head. We've done everything we can to actually try and stop everything we can, and we've gone for a football foundation grant, and we're going to fence off a proportion of the field which we can then protect and look after the safety of our members of our club. Plus also, to be honest, we were having a consultation tonight with the local residents to try and come up with a plan forward also, because we've had some, you know, obviously some interest from the local residents of putting the fence up to actually create an environment that would be useful for our football players but also for the local kids as well.
Yeah,
I was going to say, how do that? Because, you know, there might be some people that take exception to you putting up fences around the that area. They may want to walk their dogs there. But, I mean, is there understanding of people being decent about it?
A bit of both. I won't sit here and say that, obviously, we've appeased every single person in the world. Obviously, there is dog walking situations. We're, again, at the meeting tonight. We've come up with a plan. The plan obviously is there because we've obviously got to do it, and we're going to have a meeting tonight and actually discuss everything and try and come up with. And we've come up with some alternatives where actually people can still walk the dogs everywhere they want to, except for inside this sort of fenced area, try and create a safer and a more cleaner environment for our children and our members of our club. And again, like I say, for children of the local community.
I will say that, I mean, it sounds like nothing, but my son plays on a Sunday morning, and the dog mess situation is the most frustrating, annoying thing possible. The pitches are really clearly marked out, and it's just an absolute lack of care by people. When you just kids are going to be playing here, absolutely, definitely, 100%. And you just want to go, just think about it.
Absolutely. I mean, this is it. I mean, look, at the end of the day, 90% of the people are absolutely brilliant in the local, and they do. It's obviously a minority that caused the problem. But again, it's the motorbikes go across and they just do, you know, wheelies or they do skids. And like you said, you joked about it again at the beginning of the metal detector. Mm. He's been there a couple of times, a couple of years running, and he goes and just walks around the pitches and just literally cuts a hole into the pitch and then just sort of like walks away and puts his, you know, 1 year he just left the divots and I had to approach him. He just come back actually this year.
Oh, it's just one guy, is it? It's just one bloke turning up with his...
Seems to be.
Oh, goodness me. One man campaign.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I say, if there is any bullion under there, I think we're entitled to some of it. It might help us fund it.
Maybe he lost his wedding ring playing a few years ago.
If he shares some of the booty, and you can buy Joel Linton, possibly, maybe not.
Well, way around it, Paul. I think we found a way around financial fair play here.
Well, it might help it with Brexit as well. Yeah. So we might be able to find some foreign players.
Exactly.
That would be fantastic. A good idea. From Manchester City, suddenly they have somebody digging up bits of the Etihad. Yeah. And look what we found.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
Look at this Anglo-Saxon helmet we found. That'll sort us out.
Which player is that? The Anglo-Saxon helmet.
But it's lovely. You play at the Momolum, don't you?
We play at the Momolum Park, yeah, which is an old recreation land that we were cleaved, as I say, in 2008, which was just a bit of land that had just been overgrowing. We took it on, and then we started tournaments there, and we created a whole football club where we have like 24 teams. Running everywhere from under sevens right up to adult teams now, ladies teams, junior teams, disabled teams, everything there.
Every game's a draw down at the Mo.
absolutely.
One team in orange.
That's it. Well, look, good to talk to you, Graham, and we hope you get what you need to get the fence up. So, thanks very much for joining us.
Not a problem. Well, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you very much.
Graham Rosehead, groundsman at the Redcar Town and Planet, the Mo Molan, who was the local MP for Redcar for many years.
I don't think Graham thought I was taking it seriously, and I do apologise.
No, you were taking it seriously. You brought up Dog's Mess Gate, as I believe you call it, in your son's Sunday team.
Dog's Mess Gate. So. I mean,
it's
not much of a naming rights that we've given that gate. But
that's true. Anyway, still to come this afternoon, we're going to talk a bit of boxing. We'll be handing over to Goff and Adrian would drive at 4 o'clock. They're back together again after all the cricket. What a fantastic end to the T20.
Oh, yeah, from came back. I mean, all exciting games, isn't it? Really,
chasing
really
down a difficult old total, but we're good at T20, which is just as well because we've got a World Cup coming up.
Hey, Paul, Jake Binfield's been on just before we break. Oh, Rene Timmink is a former Dutch football referee, 6'7".
Is that the tallest ref? Well, that's very good.
Pretty good.
Actor David Morrissey, we recently saw playing a football referee, course, in Inside Number 9 last week. Brilliant performance. It was really, really good, actually. I recommend that. It's still on the iPlayer, but it was great fun. He said, is Redcar's pitch constantly being dug up because someone in slave prison keeps telling fellow prisoners about to be released that there's buried treasure there? Classic porridge.
There we are. Great.
Norris.
Great episode.
Horrible Norris, wasn't it? He dug up the pitch and the great reveal. Sorry, spoiler alert, but it was about 1974.
Yeah, you've not seen
the
it
flood
by
lights
now.
Come up and it's Allen Road. Go and check it out. I didn't mean to spoil it for you, but Blanco, of course, in that the old man Blanco, where played by David Jason.
Oh yes, I've seen that episode.
Classic old Good Afternoon David.
My friend's dad was Grouty. Was
Peter Vaughan.
Peter Vaughan. Yeah,
really.
Yeah. My old drummer's dad,
Genial
Dave,
Harry.
Dave Ohm, the drummer, jazz drummer, great drummer. Wow. His dad was a Peter Vaughan. Yeah. Played a lot of old men towards the end of his life because he got old, you know.
Excellent.
I think in Porridge he's only about sort of 55, so yeah.
Martin,
great
lines on there. Archers never miss when he takes the headphones off. Anyway, we'll move on. Yeah. Old Porridge there.
Listening to Porridge FM.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll be back tomorrow. Very similar hard-hitting news agenda.
Very disappointed he called 5'9" short.
Yeah, you worry. You don't like that, do you?
I'm not sure about that.
So, yeah, Chelsea, Manchester United.
Oh, yeah, huge game.
Tonight.
Huge game.
Give us a score. Charlie.
I'm going to say, Chelsea 2, Man United 1.
That was my prediction in the Fools panel, and I'm sticking to that
as
well.
We'll find out.
We'll see. Whatever happens, enjoy the game. You may be listening to this at 10 o'clock at night thinking, what a pair of months is Manchester United putting their fourth goal. Yeah. But anyway, we'll pick over the bones of that and a lot more tomorrow. Thanks for downloading us.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.